Okay? And so we better consider these things. Honestly, folks, I'm talking about eternity. This is big time stuff. I was going to hit this for a minute, but I feel compelled. Stop and just park here a minute. This is eternity. This isn't about you winning or getting your way one of these days. This is eternity. It's eternity. And if there are no biblical evidences of a born-again experience, you better take a hard look at that. But I thought about that. You know, good night. Yeah, I know I got saved at a young age, but you know, even after that, there would be this desire, this hunger to learn as a Christian and to grow as a Christian. And then there was this inward battle. It's not that I always did right or always won it, but I mean the inward man was fighting against the old man. And it seems like I'm not seeing too many wars going on inside of people anymore. So number one, make sure that you're saved. Number two, let's go to Psalm 1. Most of you could quote it, but let's go there anyway. The first Psalm. How do you learn to delight in the Lord? Well, number one, kind of a no-brainer, but it's the foundational, it's the most important point probably, is you're not going to. Natural man receive nothing to the Spirit. You're not going to delight in the Lord in the Bible until you're saved. Number two, disengage. Make sure you're saved, number one. Number two, disengage from the ungodly, from sinners, and from scorners. Now, here is where we're learning to delight. So let's start chasing this word around, this idea in the Bible about delighting the Lord. Blessed is the man, walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But, now you notice this verse 2 starts out with a comparative statement here, but his delight. In other words, he's not doing that. It's almost as if there's a choice that has to be made. You can't do verse 1 and experience verse 2. Is that fair enough? Are you looking at it? Is that fair enough? So he said, you're going to be blessed if you don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But instead of doing that, what you'll begin to do is delight in the law of the Lord. Now, I believe this. I believe with all my heart that one of the things that gets Christian young people and even adults to the point where they lose their delight in the Bible is because they begin to hang around the wrong crowd. The wrong crowd. Preacher, give me some good advice. I want to delight in the Bible. Here's the best advice I can give you. Hang around people that delight in the Bible. Get around the people excited about the Word of God. I mean, if you're sitting by someone every service that's a scorner and a scoffer and an eye roller and a watch checker, move. Get away from them. Get somewhere. Okay? Where get with the crowd that's amening. Get with the crowd that actually has their Bible open right now. You might even get with the crowd that's awake. You know. Get with the crowd that's not showed up just to put their time in tonight. It's Bible study night. That's why they came. They would have learned something from the Bible. Okay? Get away from the crowd that's always under their breath saying their little hypocritical, scorner, critical comments during the preaching of the Bible. Get away from them. Get away from them. Okay? If you do not disengage from the ungodly, from sinners, from the scorner, I promise you they will affect your relationship with the Word of God. Let's move on. There's several things. Number three, go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Look, if you will, at verse number 4. Let's find this word again. Let's see if we can get some good scriptural advice. How to learn to delight in the Bible. Make sure you're saved. Number two, disengage from the ungodly, from sinners, and from scorners. Number three, delight yourself first in the Lord of the book. How do I delight in the book? Then first you got to learn to delight in the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight thyself also in the what? Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Why don't I desire the right things? Because you're not delighting in the Bible. Why don't I desire sincere miracle of the Word? Why don't I desire to spend time in the Bible? If you delight in the Lord, you're going to be given the right desires. Look right up here. You know what this book is? This book is just a letter from God. This book is the words of God. Let me illustrate this, and maybe this isn't a great illustration, but it's funny, and it's a pretty good illustration. First time I let him go over to Victory and preach, you know, after he'd been called to preach. I couldn't go that night. But some of the people went over there, and one of the people that went over there, I asked them afterwards, how'd Jesse do? The person I asked was Heather Wilfong. How'd Jesse do in his preaching tonight? Oh, he was wonderful. It's a little nauseating, to be honest with you. I thought, why am I asking her? Now, do you know why she delighted in the words of Jesse McCammon? Because she delights in the person of Jesse McCammon, all right? Have anything to do with spirituality, love for the Bible, get off that. I don't believe it for a second. You know what? You're going to delight in these words when you start delighting in the Lord of these words. Do you love Jesus? That's a fair question. It was fair enough for Jesus to pull Peter out of a boat and ask him three times about it. If Jesus Christ, he's not going to, but if he were to physically walk in that back door and he'd say, preacher, could I have a minute or two? My goodness, yes, it's your church. And he said, I'm not going to preach a message. I just need to ask each of your members a question. He'd start right up here, and one at a time, he'd walk in front of each of us and look us in the eye. And by the way, when Christ looked us in the eye, he wouldn't just be looking at our eye. He'd be looking into our very soul. And you know what? There is no faking him out. There's no lying. There's no running some end around. There's no avoiding it. He's staring you right back in the eye, like he did Peter that day. And he said, lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Now, the honest truth is, folks, there's been times I could honestly look at Christ and say, yes. And you know what? He would have known that it was true. And there was times I would have had to drop my head and say, apparently not much. And what happens a lot of times, folks, is if we don't love the Lord Jesus supremely, it's because somebody or something's dethroned him. Now, that's generally the case. Okay, our love has been misdirected, misguided. That's why the Bible says, love not the world, either the things of the world. If any man love the world, the is. So here's the truth based on that scripture. My love for the Lord Jesus wanes. It's usually, if I look at my life, it's because my love for the world has gained ground. And if my love for Jesus Christ is gaining ground, it's because my love for the world wanes. It's just the way it is. In fact, I wrote a devotional. I started writing back again for Glow in the Dark. Brother Tony, he pulled a good one on me. Tony Brown, never trust Tony Brown. That's just write that in the back of your Bible somewhere. He invites me last fall to, they do a, the Glow in the Dark, by the way, if you don't know what it is, it's a devotional for for teenagers. And it's a little, it looks a lot like the Daily Bread or that type of thing. And if you want something like this, we can get it for you. And what we do is we buy it for our teenagers. One of the first things they do when they sit down at their school every morning is read a devotional, read a portion of the Word of God. He invited me to go over once a year. He does what he calls a Glow Banquet, and all of the people there in the ministry at Lifeway that work on getting this thing done, put together and stuff, he has an appreciation banquet for, and he wanted me to come speak at it. Well, about a year or two ago, I got so busy, I finally just had to look and say, some things I'm not going to have the time to do. And so one of the things I hated was I quit writing for the Glow. So he goes, has me come speak at this. Oh, my goodness sakes. It was a trap. It was a dirty trap. By the end of it, I was under such conviction that I wasn't writing for, so anyway, long story short, I'm writing for the Glow again. Here we are. I think between 2 and 3 in the morning, because that's the only time I could find to do it. But I told him I'd give him two of them every one a month, basically, because these are full of 2 months. So I want to read this to you. Here's the verse. And God made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Think about that. And I wrote this. I was walking to my deer stand last fall. It was an hour before sunrise, but remarkably daylight-like out. The moon was super full this pre-dawn. I never needed my flashlight as the moon shined the way for me, and soon I was 23 feet above the ground, nestled in my deer stand, waiting for the sun to peek over the horizon. No woman in here understands that. No woman does. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, think about this, and the Lord made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. God is speaking of the sun and the moon. In heaven, the greater light rules the day. By the way, that's Jesus Christ. Christ provides the light. There's no night there. Christ left us lesser lights to rule the night. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he said, you're the light of the world. Think about this. And this world is surely wrapped in darkness. Now, the thought for today, here it is. I did a little study on this. Are you a full moon, half moon, waning crescent, or new moon? Science teaches us that there are eight phases of the moon. Remember, the moon does not shine. It simply reflects the light of the sun. The more of the sun it reflects, the brighter the night. The moon can either fully reflect the sun of the light of the sun, that's a full moon, reflect none of the light of the sun, that's a new moon, or somewhere in between. What causes these phases? Don't miss this. The brightness of the moon is determined by how much of the earth gets between it and the sun. This world casts a shadow upon the moon, so much so that it has the power to prevent any of the sun's reflection. Now, what are you saying, preacher, when you say that? I'm saying, you know what, folks? Your love for Jesus Christ is affected by how much of this world gets between you and him. Don't follow, young people, don't get infatuated with this world. I mean, they're great at advertising, but they never live up to their advertising. It's a joke anyway. If you were let loose and got to chase it to its very end, you know what you'd find out in 10 or 15 years? You're sitting there at the end of the road, miserable and broken and lied to and deceived. And you've thrown away so much you don't even know where to start over again. So stay in love with Jesus. If you love Christ, you're going to love his words. Okay, Psalm 40. Let's go there. Psalm 40, verse 8. Let's look at another place where we see this matter of delight and it connected to the Word of God. Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea. Notice what's connected to it. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Now, I want to hit these two things, all right? First of all, you got to be saved. Number two, you've got to disengage from the wrong crowd. If you don't, it's going to affect your ability to delight in the Bible. Then, how do you fall in love with the Bible? You fall in love with the Lord. When you fall in love with the Lord, you're going to fall in love with his words. Now watch this. If you delight in the will of God, you're going to delight in the law of God. Now, let me tell you the honest truth, why a lot of you are struggling. I'm not picking at you, I'm trying to help you. Why you struggle with the relationship in this book. Number one, you do not love the Lord. Number two, you don't care about the will of God. If you loved God and wanted his will supremely, it would force you into this book because, don't miss what I'm going to say, the will of God is discovered always through the Word of God. I say it again, the will of God is always discovered through the Word of God. You don't care to read the Word of God. You know why? Because you're not searching for the will of God. If you delighted in the will of God, it would drive your heart into the law of God. And so the more that you decide, listen, I struggled reading the Bible and I struggled being excited about it until as a teenager I went to an altar and 100% gave myself over to the will of God in my life. From that day forward, folks, it was easy. It was easy. It was. I wanted to read it. You know why? Because I wanted to succeed at what I had surrendered to do. And the only way to discover the will of God is by reading and studying the Word of God. Is this helping you? All right. I want to say this quickly. Go back to Psalm 119. Let me read a few more verses to you. I'm not going to spend much time on this one, but I want to mention it again. We taught on it the last Wednesday night when I was teaching on this matter of meditating on the Word of God. But look at Psalm 119, verse 15. Psalm 119, verse 15, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Notice how meditation results in a delighting. If you will, look at verse number 23. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my... Notice that? He meditated, he started delighting. He meditated, he started delighting. Oh, I hope that that wasn't a wasted Bible study. If you do not learn the great and wonderful exercise of meditating on the Word of God, you're not going to ever love it and delight in it the way you should. Something about meditating in the Bible. What did you do, preacher, to prepare? I mentioned a minute ago, I did not just read and did not just study for the 2 weeks prior to those young people coming up here. I meditated upon the things that God showed me out of Psalm 119. And by the time they were up here quoting that, doing that, I'll tell you what, man, I was out there fighting tears and my heart was rejoicing. Well, preacher, I mean, it was okay, but I didn't think it wasn't that big a deal. Why wasn't it? Honestly, why wasn't it? I mean, I had folks in tears listening to the young people quote Psalm 119. They were? Yeah, well, I mean, why? Let me ask you, why not? Why not? You know what? We have got to follow the Bible formula. Meditate on the Bible, meditate on the Bible, meditate on the Bible. Do your devotions. I taught you this a week ago or whenever. Do your devotions. Dig out the Bible principles. Write some things down. Think about it all through the day. Day and night, meditate on the Word of God. And all of a sudden, you'll begin to find that as you meditate in the Bible, you're going to delight in the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 35. Let me give you another one here. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. You know what? Another way to learn to delight in the Bible is to obey what you learn from your Bible reading. The more you obey it, the more excited you're going to get about it. The more you obey it, the more you're going to figure out that it works. The more you obey it, you're going to find out that the Bible is true. And you know what? It makes you successful, and it helps you, and it blesses you, and it helps you to gain victories in your life. And so there's this matter of reading it out of duty or reading it for instruction. Reading it out of duty or reading it so that I can know the path that I need to walk in. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So I'm not just reading it to read it. I'm reading it because I've got to know how to get through today. I've got to know, need some help and counsel on decisions I have to make. I have to make sure that I'm on the right path, that I don't get off on some side path. And so I read the Bible because I read with the intent of whatever it says or wherever it points or wherever it lights, I'm going to continue to walk in that path. Let me give you one last one to take home with you. Psalm 119, verse 69. This is probably, I found in my life, another way. And it's kind of a hard way, but it's a good way to learn to delight in the Lord. Psalm 119, verse 69, the proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Think about what he's saying. The proud have what? Forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as, this is the one y'all laughed at a minute ago, their heart is as fat as grease. But I delight in thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Why? That I might learn thy statutes. Let me tell you another way. Give me the last way that you'll learn to delight in the Lord. You'll learn to delight in the Lord when you experience some real persecution and some real affliction in your life. Hard times will either drive you to this book, or if you'll let them, hard times will cause you to forsake this book. How many of you can say, preacher, without you going any further, I know exactly what you're talking about. There's a time in my life where I didn't read the Bible out of duty. I didn't read the Bible out of delight. I read the Bible to survive one more day and sometimes one more hour. And you know what? When you're going through those times of great persecution, affliction, and I mean your whole world's been turned upside down, and you grasp a hold of this thing like it's a lifeline, and you read it and read it through tears and wet the pages of your Bible with the tears, and you say, I'm not going to quit reading. I can't quit reading until God does something. If God don't do something through his word, I'm not going to make it. And then God all of a sudden takes some of the something. Maybe it was a verse, maybe it was just a phrase, maybe sometimes it's a word. And I mean, he just gives you something to grasp and hold on to and get you through one more day. Now you go through that with the Bible, and you know what? This book all of a sudden becomes so precious to you. I mean, this book has saved, Brother Joe, this book saved my life at times. This book has saved my sanity at times. This book has saved me mentally. It saved me physically. It saved me spiritually. I mean, let me help you, because I have no doubt there's people. I know for a fact. I know our people well enough to know that some of you are going through some horrific stuff right now. Tough times. I had somebody tell me once, well, preacher, I just can't read the Bible. You can't not read the Bible. You can't not. Are you kidding me? That's not the time to forsake the Word of God. One of the things you'll come upon when you study the book of Psalms is that David literally ran to the Word of God as a lifeline during some of the hardest times in his life. And so you do that a few times, and you know what? You're going to pick up that book, and if you do it through a lifetime, you're just going to touch it and hold it, and you're going to remember the times that it literally, the words of God literally sustained your life. And you're going to say, Lord, I delight. You know what he said there? He said, princes, isn't that what he said? They're forging lie, or the proud, they forge a lie against me. The proud, they forge a lie against me. People rise up against you sometimes. What do you do? Well, I'll tell you, here's a good thing to do. I'll keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Just delight in the Bible. David even said this, it's good for me. I've been afflicted. Why? Because it drove me to the Word of God, that I may learn the statutes. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, help us to learn to delight in the Bible, delight in the Word of God. Help us, Lord, when we have to read it from duty. But oh, what a wonderful thing, dear God, when duty is transformed to delight. Whether we feel like it or not, may we just do it. May we be obedient. May we do our duty. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to examine our hearts. There's some things in our life that's preventing us from really having the proper relationship, the sweet relationship with the Scriptures that we ought to have. I pray that you'd help us, Lord. May we disengage ourselves from those, dear God, that really do not love the Word of God. They are enemies of the Bible, and they wish to make us enemies of the Bible. May we disengage from them, dear God. May we learn to delight in the Scriptures. Help us to love you. Help us to love and seek your will. Help those especially in our congregation that's maybe going through some tough things, Lord. I pray, dear God, that they would rush, they'd run to the Word of God. They'd open it up and read it, and wipe tears, and read some more and wipe tears. And Lord, dear God, I've never, ever, ever in my life gone to the Bible brokenhearted and decided I wasn't going to leave till you'd done something where you didn't do something miraculous in my life. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the way it saves us, Lord. Saves us from our enemies, sometimes saves us from ourselves. I pray that you'd bless, Lord, what we've learned tonight. In Jesus' name.